The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericaempowerment.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management. What if you could immerse yourself in a world of overflowing beauty? A world in which you could explore ease with consciousness and the lightness of change? If ordinary isn't enough for you and remarkable is just the beginning, join us to discover a universe that is truly magical. This is Creme de la Creme, presented by facilitators of Access Consciousness. Is now the time for something different? Here are the hosts of Creme de la Creme.
Welcome, everyone. I am Marilyn Bradford. I'm an Access Consciousness facilitator and one of the seven leaders for a conscious world who hosts this creme de la creme. I just love to say that, you know. Work on my French a little bit. Anyway, I am joined today by Lisa Svensson and Jonas. How about that? Ben Maxwell, and we are going to be talking today about the difference between possessing and having, and other forms of what is possessing really. So I'm going to possess your attention for a moment here and read this. So, do you spend time and energy possessing people, items, objects, ideas, and beliefs? Are you bound by them? And what about your possessions? Do you own them or do they own you? And who or what are you possessed by? Join us as we take a look at all of this, as well as a life without any of them. Can you imagine your life without possessions? What if you did not have to be ruled by possessing possessions and being possessed? What if you could have ease with what Gary Douglas refers to as the simplicity of being? Ooh la la, yes. So I just want to say at the beginning that if you would like to call in, we would love to hear from you. In North America, it's 1-888-346-9141. Does anyone have the international number? I don't seem to.
Yes, I do. And the international number comes here, 001-480-553-5754. Please do call us whenever you like.
Awesome. Okay, so let me just ask all of you, what does possessing bring up for you, or being possessed?
Oh, I love being possessed. No, I
don't. Watch out.
Watch out.
You understand? You know what, just when you read that description, what came up for me was the awareness of how we're in this reality, we're functioning so much from that we lack something. We don't have everything we should have or could have. We are not everything we could have been. There has been missed opportunities in our lives, or there has been mistakes made in our lives, and therefore our life is not what they could be or as much as they could be, and therefore it's all this lack all the time. And if you have lost something one time, then you're afraid of that happening again, and for some reason it feels like we have decided or concluded, or we think that if I would possess things, that would kind of solve that shit.
Right, to sort of fill up with them and not have that scarcity.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
So everything I thought of, by the way.
Yeah?
Can we destroy my cradle?
Yes! Right wrong, good, bad, cock and pot, all nine shorts, boys and beyonds.
I'm sorry if I started it all ever, but that was just what came up for me. How we function from this lack and scarcity, and I think that we a lot of times think that possession would be the solution.
I think you're correct, because if you have to possess something, you actually have to, like, hold on to it tightly.
Yeah.
You know, you have to like, smother it and lock it away and all of that kind of thing. And that has to be based in the idea of scarcity.
Yeah. And look at relationships, you know? Look at relationships, how much are we doing marriage so we finally own the rights to somebody else, which is the same as possessing, as the pretense of that, then we would never lose that. But that's probably the moment when we actually lose everything.
Yes. Let me run a clearing here that you brought up, Jonas.
Cool.
What have you made so vital about possessing anything that it keeps you in scarcity for all eternity? Everything that is, can we destroy it and create it times again?
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you. Right, wrong, good, bad, pot, online, shorts, boys, and beyond. Maybe I'll run that one more time. What have you made so vital about possessing anything that it keeps you in scarcity for all eternity? Scarcity, poverty, and penurity. I don't think that's a word, but I just created it. So everything that is, can we destroy and create it times of Godzilla?
Yes. Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Good and bad. All nine shorts, boys, and beyond. Wow.
I have also another thing that when I look at possessing somebody, is like it's almost like feeding off somebody else's energy. When you don't want to be you don't want to stand on your both on your feet and create your life or be you. You need somebody else that you're feeding off that energy to be something, to have an energy or something. So you're basically avoiding yourself, and it's like almost like you're feeding off somebody else's energy to be somebody else.
Yeah, it's sort of like claim jumping. You know, like somebody else has staked a claim and that's theirs. Or, you know, I don't know why it brought that up.
Have you ever noticed when you let go of a person or somebody like disappears from your life or you break up, you kind of have to recreate yourself you feel that you're at the bottom or you don't have so much energy and you really have to build that up again. So how many of those things do we have out there about like people, projects, education, family, where if we would take that all away, would you even know how to stand up and walk? Are you willing to know how to be?
Yeah. And does that then imply that, how can I say this, but what you brought up for me, Lisa, was that is how most people function, and isn't that because they've possessed or created an identity from those things, whereas if they'd never possessed those projects in the first place and just been with them, then there wouldn't be some sense of having to go to that depth.
I totally agree. The thing is that we're never empowered as small. Very few people have been empowered as kids just to be. They've always been basically led or tried to be guided into being something that their parents decided is greater or better than what they are.
Isn't one of the original possessions the possession that parents feel that they have of their kids?
Yeah.
A lot like extensions of who they are and that they get to. I mean, I was over at the house of a guy who does some work for me sometimes on the computer, and he said to his son, "You need to obey me." And it's like, wow. My little guy's 2 years old, and there's no way he's going to obey anybody, least of all his dad. But there's that possessiveness that you're mine, and you will do as I say, and you'll do it when and how I say it, and you don't have choice, right? That you're not, you know, you can't be a being. You're my being.
I would wonder why we have war.
Exactly. Exactly.
Wow.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the other thing,
let me ask you a question about that. What do you see? I mean, I think we all have a sense of it as adults, but what do you see, because you work with children so much, about kids whose parents are more possessive of them. What does that create?
Well, one of the things that it creates is kids who then grow up to be adults who have no clue about who they are and what they like and what their talents and abilities are. And they grow up to be, and all the way through the developmental stages, to be people who are unsure of themselves, who get derailed. I was just at a meeting in a town in Massachusetts about heroin and teenage addiction. And this is a town that in the last 3 or 4 months, heroin has just swept through. Bags of heroin are $5 a bag. And instead of getting 1 or 2 overdose calls a month, they're getting anywhere between 1 and 3 a day. And it's like an epidemic that's sweeping through the town. And we were talking about the very stuff that we're talking about right now, like what creates that. And
yeah,
a lot of what creates that is the total inability of people to give kids, in adults, not right, not wrong, but just to give kids the gift of awareness. It's like, what's, when you don't possess somebody or something, it's like you have awareness of what is. And when you have awareness of what is, you don't have to possess anything. And I think that I wonder sometimes if addiction and Marilyn jump in, but mental health diagnoses and all that come from the space that when you get stomped out of you being you, that,
sure,
that in order to cope with it, you know, you develop these eccentricities that then get medicated and that separate you from everybody else, or addiction or whatever. But it's back to what you were asking about possession and kids. And so what's the antidote to that? It's awareness, right? Giving the gift of awareness. And how do you do that? We can talk a lot about that.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, there is I hadn't really looked at that with this possession thing, but there certainly is a tie between that and addiction. Because if you've been possessed by a parent, or even possessed, if you think about it, schools and churches, you are mine, you will believe this way.
Right,
or
exactly.
America, you are this. I mean, all of those things are not as obvious, but they are ways that we possess kids and people.
Right.
We make them a certain thing, and therefore they have to behave that way or act that way. And the being and what they would choose is, increasingly diminished. And yeah, and not only that, but if you have a parent possessing a child, going, you're mine and you will obey and you will do this and you will do that, the child has to develop that sense of wrongness of self.
Right. Right.
They're going to have some ideas that are against or in opposition to what the parent wants, or they don't mean to be, they just are. And that wrongness fuels that, you know, that desire to go into addictive compulsive behavior. So, yeah, it's such, you know, Jonas, you were apologizing for starting out heavy, but really, it's grim what this possessing stuff does.
What's funny about it is that I kind of think we have just misidentified the whole shit. Like,
we have just, right.
You know, when we think it's going to solve anything, when it's actually just creating less of what we're actually looking for.
Right, right.
And I think that's the awareness that people need to get to, so they get that possession things will actually give them less of what they think they will get more of by possessing.
Well, it's
so
a way of possessing
so vital about possessing money that it keeps you from having unlimited wealth and riches in your life.
Yeah.
And everything that is, can we destroy and uncreate it times a gazillion?
Yes.
Yeah.
Wrong, good and bad, pock and pot, online shorts, boys and beyond.
And money, like, money is such a good example too, Marilyn, like you brought up, because if money is really an energy that, if you're not willing to lose money, if you're not willing to lose everything you have, you actually do not even have the platform and the foundation to actually create more.
Right.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the difference between possessing money and having money, because I bet we've got a number of people confused here about this concept, but I think it's so important.
I think it's so important, too. And yeah. As I see it, when we're possessing money, we're more functioning from greed. That is actually already from lack, that we actually have too little, so we have to hold on to what we have. And we think that is the solution to get more. If I keep the ones I have, I will have a better chance to have more. But does that feel light or heavy, you know?
No, that feels really light. And one of the things when you were talking about it, it's I had this sense of people like locking up their money and building this fortress around it to possess it and not getting that maybe that fortress keeps that money from going out, but it also keeps anything else from coming in.
Yeah,
well,
totally.
And it's the conclusion. It's a conclusionary reality that you create with possession or possessing. Like,
yeah.
This is it, and if I let any of it go, I'm screwed. And there's and that sense of lack, like there's nothing else can enter, right? Like, this is it's all or nothing. It's either this or nothing.
Yeah,
and
I think it's the whole
grim
the whole
faith.
Point is that you're functioning from lack. You're totally functioning from lack, and therefore you think you need to hold on to it. So lack is actually what gets created.
Right.
And you so mean your point of view would your reality? We love it.
Right?
And if I look at... You go, darling.
No. So back to the thing with parents who feel inadequate or like they're struggling with who they are, a lot of times will have kids or give their kids the job of sort of fulfilling them. And fulfilling their who they wish they were, and like that kind of stuff. I mean, that's another way of possessing.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's making the other thing into something it's not.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Woo.
Yes, ma'am.
Like
yes,
you're
ma'am.
Little Marilyn, not a being in your own right.
Right.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
But And since we mentioned it, maybe we should also like mention the energy of having money. That's actually just an energy of that you have this sense of abundance and that you do have money, which is a totally different energy from lacking money.
Right.
And if you have money, you're not afraid of investing. You're not afraid of using them. You're not afraid of spending them. You're not afraid of ever being in lack because you have an energy of that you have money. And
right.
And that you can create and generate more. There's
exactly.
A flow. Yeah. Well, on that wonderful note of us all having lots of money flowing in and flowing out and flowing all around, we're going to take a break. And when we get back, we will be talking more about possessing.
It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
Want to know what the best kept secret in Access Consciousness is? It's the Access Gold Club. Demanding more change and the latest and greatest, but can't always get to all the classes you desire? Let Gary and Dane come to you. Join the Gold Club, and each month you'll receive a 60-minute live call, a weekly email on the month's theme containing the latest clearings in written form, and an MP3 loop. Twice a month, receive a brand new video with Gary and Dane. How does it get any better than this? In addition to receiving a CD format of the monthly call mailed to you, you'll also enjoy a surprise bonus gift. Be in on the secret. Join today at www.isnowthetime.com/special-tips.
Hey everybody, this is Dr. Dane here, and I would like to invite you to an adventure in being. I've just written and finished a new book known as Being You, Changing the World. Are you one of those dreamers? One of those people who's always known that other possibilities should be available but haven't yet been able to see them be created? Well, I wrote this book for you. In it, you'll find tools, processes, and unique perspectives to change the things you've always wanted to change but didn't know how. In it, you'll find an invitation to a different possibility for a way that we can be in this world that changes not only our lives, but by being us, allows us to contribute to changing everything planet-wide that doesn't work. Are you aware that truly great people, truly being them, is the only thing that has ever created a great change on this planet? Are you willing to step up? Are you willing to be one? Check out a copy of my new book, Being You, Changing the World. I invite you to go to beingyoubook.com for a free gift.
You are listening to Creme de la Creme, presented by Access Consciousness. Join us on the program today via phone or email. Call us toll-free in North America at 1-888-346-9141. That's 1-888-346-9141. Or send an email to Pam at accessconsciousness.com. She'll make sure we get the message. Now, back to Creme de la Creme.
Welcome back, everyone. I am Marilyn Bradford, and I am joined here with Anne Maxwell, Jonas Svensson, and Leeson Benson, and we're talking about possessing and being possessed. And during the break, we were looking at relationships, because actually, I'll just put this out there, although we've been talking about possession in almost a, like everyone would agree would be kind of negative, but actually all romance and romantic relationships are based on possessing. I'll die without you. I must possess you. I must have you. I must have Charles. You know, it's all that kind of very light about it. So what do you all know about possession and relationships?
I just want to bring up when you said that, if you look at the energy of marriage, for example, how much of that is actually about if I could get this person to marry me, that means that that person do not have choice to choose anybody else anymore, so I basically own that person, which would be the possession. And also, when if I choose to get married to someone, it's kind of the same energy. I'm now willing to give myself up to you. It's just
Jonas, I never thought I'd hear you say those words.
So, here, let's do it here where nobody can hear us. Marilyn, are you ready to finally give yourself up to me?
I thought it was the other way around.
Oh, okay.
It's a new trend. A new trend. Men have to give themselves up to women.
Marilyn, in our relationship, possession needs to be a two-way street.
That's me. We should make that part of the marriage vows. Do you promise to honor, obey, and possess the other and be possessed?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it's a new gifting and receiving way.
Exactly. Kind of what it is anyway, right?
Yeah.
My husband, my wife, my, right? We.
My ass.
Absolutely.
Well, how much are we obsessed by our body types and all that? And how much of that do we use in relationship both to create separation and judgment towards each other all the time?
Mm. Yeah, and that's a whole new topic we can look at later, yeah. Leeson. Thank you, because don't later. We all believe that we possess our bodies and we should, like, impose on our bodies and make them do certain things, and oh, my God.
Really, yes.
Wow. Wow.
So if when we are, you know, you have probably all been in a relationship at one point or another, maybe when you were young, where, or you were in love, or you were newly in love with someone, and you felt this energy of like, oh, I'm so afraid of losing this person. And I wonder if that's actually where the possession starts, where we start to create that energy of trying to create a possession.
know, I had a client this morning, and she came in to work on some anger issues. She was, that's, those are her terms. She was, like, snapping at her husband and the family and this and that. And when we began looking at it, we began seeing, and she had made herself wrong, sort of the opposite of what we often see. And the, her husband and everybody else in the family had made her wrong, and we started to look at it, and we could see that actually they have been quite abusive to her in odd ways over the years. I mean, these people have been married for like 35 years or something. But the interesting thing was I got a phone call from her today, and she said, well, I'm not coming in anymore. And I'm like, you know, that's fine. That's totally your choice. However, she said a few more things. You sound a little bit upset or like something's really unresolved for you. So if you'd like to take a few minutes, you know, I'd be happy to talk with you right now. And what came out of it, basically, although she didn't really get it, was she could not bear to lose the basically family construction she was in. And she could tell that I was leading her, or not leading her, but she actually had created, and I was acknowledging this path of looking at how abusive everybody else in the family was, and she couldn't do it. She wouldn't do it. She could have done it, but she wouldn't do it because that meant leaving, or at least a huge upset to the family system. And I'm like, wow, you know, when I knew we were going to do this show on possessing, that's exactly what I thought about. She's being possessed by the family and in turn allowing it and agreeing to being something she's not, which is the really terrible, horrible person in the family that needs to change. But that was the price she was willing to pay in order to maintain, you know, to not change and to maintain the system. So it was like, wow.
And wow. And what if that's like just where she is, and what if having that awareness was enough for her now, and who knows down the road. But, and
I don't think she actually had the awareness. I think that she somehow made me wrong for bringing up some of these other instances.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. But, and that's okay, too. It doesn't really matter. It was just such an example of what we're willing to give up in order to be possessed.
Well, one of my favorite Gary Douglas things to me one time was the pretense that the pretense is real.
I like it.
Right? Which somehow the pretense that I what that has to do with possession escapes me verbally right now, but energetically I get it. That somehow the life that I created for myself was actually based on possession, even though I was pretending that it wasn't.
Yeah, I think that's what was in this family, absolutely.
Right.
This pretense that everybody was a choice and really healthy and all of that, mm-hmm, and everybody was pressing is and holding on to, you know, these systems and blames and all of these other, like, static. You know, that whole thing about possessing is it makes everything static. Nothing can change.
Right. Static and stuck.
Static and stuck.
So boring.
Boring, static, and stuck.
Boring, static, and stuck. There we go.
Oh, real.
Yeah. Sorry.
It even rhymes.
It even rhymes. Maybe in Swedish.
Exactly.
So the possessing, so back to parents and kids again, like what if you can give your, as parents, what if we can give our kids the capacity to be who they are, to choose for themselves, to, it's not a question of being their doormat, right? If what they're choosing doesn't work for you, it's really very fine to say that doesn't work for me, but to give them the capacity to choose and then to tap into whatever the energy that creates, which is so, and really what that does is it creates awareness, right? Like at the beginning we were talking about was the antidote to possession, it's awareness. And when you have awareness, you don't possess anything.
And you're not
possessed. And if you possess something, you can't have awareness because you're locked in the conclusion that this is it,
right.
Like Jonas was talking about, that there's a lack and you got to grip on and hang on to this. You can't have anything more. And you don't function from awareness when you function from that space.
Well, you go ahead, Jonas.
Yeah, no, I just wanted to comment on what Anne said, because if you have awareness, you actually do not need to possess, like you said.
Exactly.
Like, there's no need for possessing anything if you have awareness.
No, and it's joy about it. It's like, woohoo, how fun is this, right? Like this.
I mean, it's a full-time job or 24 hours per day job if you're possessing and all this control energy.
Everything
you have to do to have everything in place all the time. I just wonder how much impact that has on our bodies, on our stress level, on our joy, on everything.
Right. Right,
yeah,
and
I was
talking.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, go.
I was talking with someone in the 7-day in New Zealand, and she was talking because we were looking at other places, right? Recovery might go, and one of them is into some of the domestic violence situations. And she was telling me she's working with a nonprofit that worked in domestic violence about some situations where the husbands were extremely high-powered CEO types. You know, mega lawyers, that kind of thing, and were possessing their wives to the extent of the wives had to check in every half an hour or so.
Right.
And one wife, you know, missed a train and was going to be late, and she actually had almost a breakdown because she knew how angry her husband was going to be. In its extreme form, it's destructive all the time, but in extreme form, it's almost like you could see, it's like crushing, it's almost death. You actually have to give yourself up from being a person.
It's a form of enslavement to that degree.
Yes, it's a form of enslavement, absolutely.
Yeah, it is.
Wow.
That is not fun.
Yeah.
So how much
with
coal, with control?
Right.
All of it.
Yeah.
I don't think a procession even works without control.
I think you're
right.
Ooh.
Isn't that kind of even the ultimate control, or the ultimate trying to control?
Is to possess someone or something.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Or allow yourself to be possessed. If you don't have your own reality, as you were talking about earlier, Anne, you would even look for something to possess you. And that's a lot of what addiction is. I'll let the alcohol possess me. I'll let the cigarette or the relationship possess me.
Right. And the possessor, the control freaks, are the ones who function from lack. Like if I don't possess my wife or I don't possess my kids or my job or the people who work for me, then there's something wrong with me. I have a lack. If I keep, right? I mean, it just strikes me as being, like, so much of the limitations, all the limitations, probably Gary would say, are fueled by judgment.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Right? The sense of wrongness, the sense of lack, the sense of judgment, which is so different from the space of awareness and the space of receiving.
And it's, that receiving part, because when you go in to try to possess something or you choose to possess something, it's always the first step to losing all the possibilities that could show up.
Right.
Why don't you say more about that, Jonas?
Like, so I said before that if you're not willing to lose something or anything or everything, you're not giving yourself the platform to actually create more and to create more possibilities, because you're only allowing you to receive, to create and receive the possibilities or the no possibilities that are matching with what you can receive based on holding on to this. So you're basically putting all your focus to possessing and holding on to what you have decided you cannot lose. So look at in a relationship, for example. So let's say that you're afraid of losing someone and you go to trying to possess them instead, how much does that create that the other person thinks you're really unattractive and you're not fun at all and they just want to leave you faster?
How many of you have wanted to leave somebody because of that energy?
Exactly.
I certainly have.
Ah! Yeah. So,
right.
So look at being money and being in a person's universe where they just want to possess you. They don't want to play with you. They don't want to have fun with you. They don't want to. They don't see there's any use of you. They don't think you should have fun. They just want to possess you and own you. Why would you want to be with that person?
Well, unless you wanted to be possessed.
Right.
Yeah.
That's part
exactly.
of the automatic pilot system that keeps you going, like this
yeah.
generational or whatever. But yeah.
Yeah, no, it's a really good point. Of course, there are people that want to be possessed because they probably function already from some programs where they
right.
have nothing
exactly.
or something like that. And we thanks for bringing that up because we that could be good to mention too. But the reason why we don't talk about that way is because we know that they're already in a program where they're not being them and they're not actually functioning from choice at all. So that might be another show to be able to help them, but it's a really good point.
Well, and the thing, like, again, with kids and parents, like, as kids, how many times were you told, well, we don't do it that way in this family. This is how we do it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that kind of stuff. I mean, it's just sort of the beginning. Oh, no, little girls don't do that. Little girls wear frilly dresses, which, thank God, my mom never made me do. But there are families that do that. Boys don't ever wear pink, and little girls never play with trucks, right? I mean, just the,
yeah.
the rules, like, right from the get-go. Start to stomp that out of you, and if it is stomped out of you, then you choose based on what you're familiar with. So it's not. I guess the only reason I brought it up is not right, not wrong, not good, not bad. It just is, and what we're doing is offering other possibilities, like asking questions to stir stuff around, so people can see that they're not stuck either one way or the other, either being possessed
right.
or possessing.
So I have a question.
Yes.
So all the definitions of who you are, what you are, where you are, when you are, why you are, and how you are, is that actually possessions?
Depends how you answer them.
Huh.
So can
right.
we do a clearing? Can we run a clearing?
Sure. Why don't you do us a clearing, Ian?
So, I mean, just feeding off of Jonas, all the projections and expectations of who, what, where, when, why, and how you are, you should be, you've been told to be, you've been told you must never be. Will you destroy and create every single one of those?
Yes.
Yes.
Right, wrong, good, bad, all nine, pot, shorts, boys, and beyonds. And what have you made so vital about other people's points of view and other people's beliefs that keeps you from having you? And being you, and everything that is, times a godzillion, we just try to create it.
Yes.
Right, wrong, good, bad, all nine, pop, shorts, boys, neons. Like, wow.
So, you know, in that list, we've been talking about parents and all, but it made me go back. I don't know, it didn't make me, but somehow when you were talking about that, I mean, being possessed as a, quote, human being, you know, in America, they treated African-American slaves as not just as objects, but, you know, as property.
Possessions, property, right.
Yeah, possessions, property.
Right.
You know, and it's
yep.
just, that's not a far cry from
well,
what we do with
our
wives and kids.
Kids are still.
Yeah,
they have,
yeah.
like, tiny little rights here and there, but for the most part, they are the property of their parents.
Yeah, that's kind of frightening. Wow. Yeah. Okay. Well, wowie zowie. We are really looking
at
an impacting topic, possessing, and what that does to destroy the being. And we have one more break in this quite amazing call, so we will be back in just a couple of minutes. ¶¶
Change your world. Change your life. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
What would you say if I told you that you could change your life in only 1 hour and all while lying down relaxing? Thousands of people all over the world have. What am I talking about? It's called Access Consciousness, the BARS. The BARS is an energetic body process that contains 32 different points on your head that, when run, assist you in releasing decisions about any area of your life that you have made solid and, as a result, cannot change. The BARS is the first class in Access Consciousness, a dynamic set of tools and information designed to transform any area of your life. When you have a BARS session, the worst that can happen is you feel like you had a fantastic massage. The best thing that can happen is your whole life could change. Go to accessconsciousness.com today to find a facilitator, to schedule a private session, or to find a BARS class in your area. Are you willing to give yourself an hour to change your life?
When you're pondering the big questions like, is there more than this? How can I have a happy relationship? What would it take to like my body? And how do I make more money? Where do you go for information and tools? Check out the online store at accessconsciousness.com. Accessconsciousness.com has books, DVDs, instant video and audio downloads, online classes, and so much more. Subjects include abuse, changing your body, recovery, raising children, business techniques, tools to generate more money, how to have better sex and healthier relationships, just to name a few. At accessconsciousness.com, you can also find facilitators who teach local classes on a variety of subjects. Accessconsciousness.com, your one-stop shop for tools to assist you in changing your life. All of life comes to us with ease, joy, and glory. Go to accessconsciousness.com to learn more.
You are listening to Creme de la Creme, presented by Access Consciousness. Join us on the program today via phone or email. Call us toll-free in North America at 1-888-346-9141. That's 1-888-346-9141. Or send an email to Pam at accessconsciousness.com. She'll make sure we get the message. Now, back to Creme de la Creme.
Welcome back, everyone. I am Marilyn Bradford, and I am joined here with Jonas Svensson and Ann Maxwell and Leeson Benson on this pretty intense discussion of possessing and being possessed and possessions. So over the break, we were chatting a bit. We thought, maybe we better show people where else they can go besides this. Because we don't want you to leave with a sense that you're stuck in possessing or being possessed. So
that really is not fun. You leave the show and feel that you're possessed above everybody or everything. You're like, like a nightmare show.
I feel so heavy after that Voice America show.
I need help. Right?
So, awareness, simplicity of being. Anybody want to start?
Yeah. So,
Ms. Ann.
This would be Ann. Hi. So, one thing.
Hi.
Hi. So, the thing that possessing somebody else or possessing a belief or a job or an item and anything, what it does is it limits what you can receive to that and no more, to whatever that conclusion is that you've created around whatever the item or the person or the relationship is. And it's a conclusion based on lack, like there's nothing else out there, so you have to like grip on. And what all of those conclusions and judgments do is keep you from having the awareness of other possibilities and other choices you could make. And so, okay, so then what do you do? What if you could, like, ask a question, like, what is this? or is there another way I could be with this? Or one of my favorite old-time access clearings is, what's the value of holding on to everything I want to get rid of or let go of? And everything that brings up the Godzillion, Destroying and Created. Right.
Yes.
We had online podcast shorts, Boys and Beyonds. They're just basic things. It's like we went pretty deep into a lot of stuff. And what if you don't have to go really deep to shift into different space? You can just begin to ask a question and to and really ask on a basic level, what is this? Or what do I know about this? What do I know about this relationship? What do I know about myself? What do I know about my child and my spouse and my this and my that? And what else do I know? And what else do I know? And what else do I know? And you have the awareness of so much of what you actually do know that's overshadowed by the possession. And once you begin to ask those questions, it's like you can't go back to the way you were before, the way you were in that possession mode, because you have the awareness that there's so much more than that. Right?
Right. Because possession is actually kind of an answer. So it shuts everything down, and
yep.
question opens everything up.
Yeah.
That's part of, yeah.
Well, really, like,
go ahead, Lisa.
No, really, when we are looking at that, what you say about asking a question, like any time you feel stuck or you feel obsessed or possessed, and you don't even know it is that, but you feel that it's heavy or somehow limiting you, please start asking any questions, because you'll get an awareness about something. And if you're willing to unlock that energy, even if it's yours or somebody else's, it doesn't really matter, because you can change it. That's the beauty with consciousness for me, is that no matter who has chosen it, I'm still in the creation of it, so I can still change it for me. So even if somebody else is trying to possess me, I can change that for me. Isn't that really cool?
Well, yeah,
we never become victims.
We never become victims.
Exactly.
So here's one from the 7 day. What have you made so vital about possessing total victimhood that keeps you from being the truth of who you be?
Oh.
And everything that is drawing and create it times a godzillion.
Yes. Good and bad, right, wrong. Put all my shirts by the end.
Thank you. Because, it's all about being a victim. If you allow something to possess you, that's a lot of what addiction is.
Right.
Or being the effect of anyone is, allowing it to possess you and be bigger than you are. Anything that you make bigger than you actually possesses you.
Right.
I never put that together before. How does it get any better than that?
How does it get any better than that? So, so what if we start to function from that? What if we got over the lie that possession or possessing something would help in any way, would solve anything? And just as a choice. If we have this as a pattern and we have had that for many, many years, maybe it's not just like, okay, I'm going to stop that now. And maybe it is. But if it's not, let's just start by every time you feel like you're stuck or you feel possessed or you feel you don't have a choice or whatever it might be, just start to look at, so if I did not try to possess anything, if I function from lack, if I didn't try to possess anything, what would I actually be able to choose? What choices would I have available? And what could I do different here? And you can even ask yourself the easy question, what am I holding on to here that doesn't serve me? You know, it doesn't need to be complicated. It doesn't need to be the perfect question. You know, you have probably noticed that we, during the show, we're just throwing out millions and billions of questions, and we're even trying questions that we have never tried before and see what they create. And that's how we live our lives. That's being in the question. That's being. That's being you. And what if you could use that to your advantage? Whenever you feel stuck, just ask something. What am I holding on to? Or what am I not being? Or what's going on here? And what is this? Can I change it? And be that energy instead of allowing things to stop you, keep you stuck, or possess you?
You know, we just mentioned that term, simplicity of being, and I was sitting here looking at, so often, at least in America, that's misidentified and misapplied, to have a simple life. In other words, you don't want anything too much going on. You're going to live on the land, and maybe in the morning you'll plant tomatoes, and maybe in the afternoon you'll just potatoes, you know, but you don't want too much. You want to be simple. But simplicity of being has nothing to do with having a simple life in that sense. It's really about the willingness to have or not have anything or anyone. And to just, I mean, that the be to be without the necessity of grabbing or holding on or possessing or being possessed or being held on to. It's like, wow. What is this? And so you can have billions of dollars and have the simplicity of being, or you can be totally broke and being trying to possess the day or possess the now, or, you know. So I just wanted to bring that up because I think people often think of simplicity of being as it means that you're taking everything away, and that's not it. It's just really not having a point of view about it.
Yeah. I must say that I think it's great, everything that we have been able to get up on the table around possession and possessing during the last hour, and hopefully it has brought some sort of awareness to you out there, or to anyone, or to someone, hopefully one person, about how it's actually not serving us at all. It does not serve us. And I think that's the misidentification and the lie that we have bought into. And if we just start acknowledging that and ask instead what else is possible, we will have a totally different universe and totally different choices show up.
Yes, because you can have choices show up if you're not doing possession or being possessed. Whereas you really can't have anything new if you're choosing that other paradigm. It's totally stifling.
Yeah. It's kind of designed to exclude choice. So where the lie begins. That's where the lie begins.
Let's stop lying.
Let's stop lying. So, and I mean, if everything has consciousness, if everything is a life form of its own, can you even possess anything? Or is the whole possession just a big lie that we are bought into?
Right.
Yep, I'd put that on the big lie thing, which is, partly why the energy is
Our lie list becomes very long now, Marilyn.
That's a lie list?
The ever-unfolding list of lies.
Yeah. So everywhere we have bought in... Yeah, you go.
Go. No, everywhere you bought in what?
Everywhere we have bought into that possession will solve anything, or that possession is even real. Can we just destroy and uncreate that?
Yes.
Right, wrong, good or bad, put and poke, all nine shorts, boys and beyonds.
Yes.
Oh.
You know, I watched that movie Invictus on the plane going over to New Zealand, and one of the things with Nelson Mandela, I mean, here he was in this tiny cell for, I can't remember, it was 26 or 27 years, but they never actually were able to possess him from the point of view that he never lost himself. And I think that's really the crux of it. You know, where are we trying to get someone else to lose who they are, which is what they were doing to him, where are we being possessed, or someone's trying to get us, or we're trying to get them, or whatever it is, you get it. It goes both ways.
Yeah.
Possessing your limitations.
He was also willing to lose, you know, he was willing to lose his life to not give up on being him.
Right. Yes, exactly. Right. Exactly.
And there's some of the survivors of the Nazi war camps during World War II that had the same energy that he did. They refused to go down into the depths with all of that, and they maintained this. This spirit, if you will. This, but what was really them being them?
They kept being. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I love that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And what if that's that one of the greatest gifts we can give to each other and give to ourselves is the gift of being who we are and the gift to other people to be who they are, because that's really where the magic is, and that you talk about simplicity of being.
It's such an inspiration.
Yeah.
Fortunately, we have come to the end of our show, but I thank you for that last thing, because what if being all of you was really the inspiration that inspired everyone to be more of them, the way we were talking about with concentration camp survivors and Nelson Mandela? So thank you all for such an amazing call.
Thank you.
And Max Benson and Jonas Svensson, and I am Marilyn Bradford. This was just rocked, I thought. And we will be back next Tuesday on Crème de la Crème. And you can also catch Gary Douglas and Dr. Dane here, the co-creators of Access Consciousness, on their Voice America show every Thursday at 2 p.m. Pacific. So thank you, and we will talk with you again next week.
Thank you for listening to Crème de la Crème today. You might like to listen to it more than once. To experience even more change, join us again next Tuesday at 12 noon Pacific time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. Be sure to check out creatingaconsciousworld.com and accessconsciousness.com to find out more about us and about Access. What would it take for you to choose to be the crème de la crème in your life and to choose it again and again? Will you?